Welcome to the Smichael Speaks podcast channel. I'm Joanne Smichael, and I'm delighted that you tuned in for relevant leadership learning that will help you continue to soar. Enjoy this episode. We are in the Next Chapter series and continuing our conversation with Russ Snyder, CEO of Volunteers of America, Chesapeake, and the Carolinas. Welcome back.
Thank you, Joanne. Glad to be back.
So last time we talked about your backstory, about your career in real estate and then your career in association management and then the turning point that you had to service. Not that you weren't serving before, but to service through Volunteers of America. Yeah. Today, I want to talk about that service. But, you know, I'm just going to say this. In the in-between our conversations, we had a very interesting conversation about something that you did that prepared you for this work. We can just talk a little bit about the mission work in Russia. I don't know anybody else who did mission work in Russia.
Yeah, I was involved in the United Methodist Church in Burtonsville, Maryland, and a pastor there who became a very good friend of mine suggested I get involved in missions and international missions, as well as in Appalachia and, you know, different, you know, with the youth, et cetera. So I ended up taking him up on his offer to go with him to Russia with a group from around the country, United Methodist men and women. And we traveled to Moscow and then Voronezh, in South Russia, and we were helping pastors plant Methodist churches, and we did that 2005 to 2008, and it was just a wonderful experience being able to plant these churches and helping ministers there build their congregations. But it was during a very difficult time to practice open religion in Russia. So we had to do this kind of underground, if you will. And it was just a wonderful experience to see God at work and seeing the passion of a new open opportunity to worship and to serve God in this underground Methodist community. So it was a wonderful experience. And I really thoroughly enjoyed that. And that really helped me kind of open my heart and say, yeah, I can do just about anything with God. And we took that and ran with it and went from the for-profit world into the nonprofit world. And it helped me transition into Volunteers America, Chesapeake and Carolinas. Volunteers America is a church. It's a church without walls. And it helped me become a pastor and a lead pastor in the local affiliate that I'm running.
So will you tell me the history of VOA? Where did it come from?
It was formed back in 1896 by Salvationists, Ballington and Maud Booth. And Ballington was the son of William Booth, who formed the Salvation Army in Great Britain. And so the Anglican Salvationist approach to this was very mission-based, was to go out into the community and build a supporting network of mission-based or urban ministries, if you will, throughout the United States. And there was a time where Ballington and Maud was the daughter-in-law to William Booth. So Ballington and Maud were married, and they formed Volunteers America in 1896. And it was centered on that urban ministry to provide meals and to provide shelter and to provide, you know, compassionate care to those that were living on the street, whether it was in New York City or whether it was in Chicago. But they built posts around the United States, and it's a wonderful organization. I mean, the history, it's going on 129 years old now. And it's just now evolved into this large nonprofit that is within the top five affordable housing developers, who provides low-income housing, develops and operates and provides services in the housing. And it's in 46 states. It's in over 500 communities nationwide, serving about 1.5 million men, women, and children every year. There are 28 others like me are running affiliates within Volunteers America, but it's a mission-based organization that's focused on serving those and creating healthy communities and making sure we inspire self-reliance and change in people's lives and help them become independent every day. And that's what the mission really is to do God's work, meet them where they are, and to help them any way we can through three mechanisms. One is human services, case management, clinical services, healthcare, and housing solutions.
So tell me a little bit about your region, Chesapeake and the Carolinas.
Yeah, I'm one of 29 CEOs within from Puerto Rico to Alaska to California back here to the East Coast, and I am the CEO of Volunteers America Chesapeake and Carolinas, and it's four states and the District of Columbia. So it's Maryland, Virginia, the District of Columbia, North and South Carolina, and we serve. It's kind of broken up into to seven different areas of veterans. We serve seniors, at-risk youth, the homeless. We serve. Men and women who are coming out of the federal prison system, those that are returning citizens, those have substance use disorder needs, and those with behavioral health challenges. So it's a wide variety of folks that we serve, families, and we serve individuals alike, and we provide holistic services, including spiritual care.
So tell me, what are your points of pride in leading this organization as the CEO or just as a minister, just as a human being? What are your points of pride?
Yeah, the points of pride are really seeing the change in people's lives. An example of that is we will work with the homeless population in the District of Columbia, men and women who are in emergency rooms frequently, or they're being admitted over and over again because they've got acute and chronic health challenges, and we get them in our house, and we get them in our homes, and we create a safe environment for them to get the medical care that they need, and then. You know, 2 months later, they're getting into permanent housing, they have a job, and just seeing a transformation of their lives, and allowing them the opportunity to succeed in all that they do by just giving them a hand, and we walk alongside of them until they're ready to become independent, self-reliant again. That really gives me joy. Or hearing the story of a mom who was addicted with heroin for years and years and years, lost. Her children to that addiction, ended up homeless, and then seeing her recover in our substance use disorder treatment recovery facility, and reunite with her children, and to be successful again as a marketing executive. I mean, you wouldn't think that marketing executives would have heroin addictions, but they do. Or people like you and I who struggle with their addictions every day, whether it's alcohol or whether it's cocaine or the like, fentanyl, the like. But you know, these recovery centers really, really change people's lives. Or seeing an ex-offender come out of a re-enter back into their community, and they have a job, and they're proud. They've got documents, and they've been in prison for 20 years, and now they're reunited with their family. And I have a good friend that is now a pastor who I met at in doing prison ministry, and he's a pastor, and he's now a bishop in Baltimore, running three churches. So those are fascinating to me. That's what gives me pride in the work I do.
One of the things that I love about VOA is that you partner with other nonprofits. Will you talk a little bit about the work at the Leola Dorsey Center? Because to me, that is a huge model of partnership, of being of service and not being uncomfortable being of service with another organization.
Yeah, the Leola Dorsey Community Resource Center was an idea of a wonderful guy who unfortunately passed away years ago. His name was Tom Carbo, and he was the housing director for Howard County. And he had this vision of creating a safe harbor, place where nonprofits could collaborate together in a building that would house chronically homeless men and women who are living on the streets or in shanty towns or living in the back of a car or couch surfing at their family or friend's home to give them a place to successfully live. We partnered with Grassroots Crisis Intervention Center back now in 2016, 17 and 18, and we opened up Leola Dorsey Community Resource Center. There's a day program that Grassroots Crisis Intervention Center operates there where a homeless individual can come in and get support services, medical, food, clothing, have respite, take a shower, do whatever they and then the second floor is something that Volunteers America operates, and it's a 35 different apartments for those that graduate from being out of homeless to actually have a place to live and become successful. And from there, it's their permanent place to live until they choose to go elsewhere. But the collaboration there with the Howard County Housing Commission, the Department of Housing, as well as Department of Social Service or Community Services there. It's one that helps provide all the tools necessary to have those that were homeless living in the back of a car, living outside, to become successful and really find their way to independence and self-reliance in the community. It's a wonderful way to do it. It's the way to operate a system.
I think it is an awesome model. Awesome model. Awesome, awesome, awesome. So you have points of pride in this juncture. How do they differ from the points of pride when you were with Smith Buckland, when you were in the real estate world? What's the difference?
The points of provide per, in the business world are so different. It's around successful collaboration it's about winning, and it's a big difference there where you're winning for an industry or you're winning for a company to keep them out of further regulation or further costs. It's a the financial world versus or the business world versus what I do now. There's not even a comparison. I mean the pride I had there was just a different time of my life where I think it was it was beneficial because it helped grow me to where I am today, and to be able to take on a nonprofit like Volunteers America, Chesapeake and Carolinas. But the pride I have now is really it's God born. It gives me the pride. It gives me a sense of heart versus head pride.
That's interesting. So I would imagine the heart pride helps you to deal with the stressors because I don't care what kind of organization you're leading, there are stressors, even a ministry that's serving the Lord's people. So what are your strategies for dealing with those unique stressors when things get really hard?
I've got I'll start with my relationship with God, and that is daily faithful walk. I've had ex I could tell you stories about how I've seen the influence of God and the change in my heart because of my experiences with God around me. But it's daily prayer. It's not getting overwhelmed with the tasks I have, or the magnitude of the decisions that you have to make for people that live in your properties, or moving into a new community with a recovery center, as an example. I give it to God and let God sort it out. That's, I think, the best way to describe how I'm never stressed. I mean, my wife says you're never stressed, but well, I am. I just don't show it. So it's about that. And then I think, I really, really, really have an incredible relationship with my counterparts in Volunteers America. There's 28 others like me, and just the fellowship and the collaboration between us, it's wonderful. I mean, they're some of the best friends I've ever had, and these are, CEOs from California to the Rocky Mountains, the Colorado affiliate. We get together several times a year, and if I have to call somebody and say, "Hey, I need to talk," they're always there for me, and vice versa.
I
So the
like that.
CEOs is a way to help me keep my stress down.
I like that. I like that you are intentional about staying connected to other human beings. I know that you are athletic and have a well-aligned, well-balanced life. What else keeps you grounded, and what else do you do for self-care?
I try and maintain my health. I'm getting up there a little bit in the 60s, and it's nice to feel healthy. So I stay healthy, I eat well, and make sure I have enough sleep and take care of myself. But I get away from it. I spend a lot of time meditating and in the morning and at evening. I'm a reader, and I go out, and as you said, I'm been mountain biking for over 30 years, and that keeps me fairly active. But I really feel that I separate the world from my faithfulness to God every day in a very intentional way, and that helps me. That really helps me not get overwhelmed. It helps me with my self-care. And I recently preached a sermon about God's love for us, and I love to love people. And I think that really centers me every day. And I love people. I love to love people. And I think that really gives me a sense of fulfillment. And that keeps me, my self-care, very acutely aware.
That's good. I think that's important. I think it's important that we take care of the temple that he sent us in. So I was surprised when you told me you're getting ready to retire. I don't know why I
Yay.
thought you'd be doing this forever, but you're getting ready to retire. What do you want people to say about you and your work in terms of a legacy?
I want to be remembered that, we have a chaplain on staff, and she always tells people when she's introducing me in, public events that I am an example of being a pastor first and a CEO second. And that's really what I want to be remembered as, is that I chose to be committed to the ministry, to our Church Without Walls, and being a pastor as my life's work. And that's really what I want to be remembered for. I mean, I think just having that passion for God and for the ministry and changing the world through one person at a time, I think that's what I hope to, and bringing people to God, that's what I hope people remember me for.
So what's the next chapter? What you gonna do next, post-retirement?
I've already it's already been planned for me, it seems. But I've been led to been elected the lay leader of our laity in our church. So it's a 400 person church here, United Methodist Church here in Southport, where we live. I've been asked to serve on and help in affordable housing developments here locally in the community, to bring my skills and experience to be able to finance a permanent supportive housing facility in Brunswick County, where I live. And prison ministry is in ahead of me again. I've led groups in the Maryland prisons, and it seems like my heart's opening up to serve God and lead men into North Carolina prisons, and provide Kairos ministry. So those are the areas, and spend a lot of time with my wife. And we go around only once on this earth, and she's the love of my life, and I'm gonna spend a lot of time with her and our two daughters, our son-in-laws, and our now almost five grandkids. We have one grandchild that's being born in the next 6 weeks.
I
So we'll
love
have
that.
three granddaughters and two grandsons
I
when
love
he's
that.
born.
You said Kairos Ministry. What is that? I've never heard that before.
Kairos is an international organization. It's a prison ministry that has been around for about 40 years now, that has outside men, Christian men, to go into state and federal prisons, and basically lean into a weekend with Jesus. And Thursday through Sunday, there's a lot of training around it, and we go in and we sit with the men daily, and we introduce them to the Lord. We introduce them to what it is to be a family of believers. And by the end of it, it's remarkable to see the change in the prison environment, but also the change in the residents within the prison.
So, do you provide ongoing spiritual support for them, or is this a one-time thing?
Now we go in for the weekend, and then afterwards, the outside guys, which would be me, we go back in for a once every month worship service, and we provide spiritual direction as needed, and we work with the chaplain, the correctional officers that are open to this. But it's a God's work in prison. It really is. And I've done it in Maryland now, and hopeful to do it here in North Carolina in the next 6 months.
That is so cool. I did not even know you did that. You have built a really fulfilling series of chapters in your life, and I appreciate you sharing that with me and with us. So thank you, and I wish you
Thank you.
every blessing in this next chapter of your life.
Thank you, Joanne. Thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity to tell a little bit about my story.
Well, thank you again. And I hope to see you the next time you're in Maryland.
I look forward to seeing you too.
Take good care, Russ.
Yeah, thanks, Joanne. Take care. You too.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. I hope you got tools that you'll actually use and share. Subscribe if you haven't already. I add new and relevant leadership learning all of the time. If you haven't visited the Smichael Speaks YouTube channel, check it out. There's all sorts of new content. All of this is virtual leadership learning that will help you soar.